on this past Monday, as Robert was busily getting ready to go on vacation, he called and said, "Jim, you've preached on that passage before." Now, I don't want any cracks about the absent-minded professor. But yesterday morning, as I was preparing to go over my sermon, I pulled out the bulletin from 1998 in which I had preached that sermon before here. And so Rob was much more prescient than I, and I know that you will all have remembered that sermon, and so I think it rather dubious for me to revisit a passage that you have already heard me preach upon. So this morning, I'm switching gears and giving you something different from the Gospel of John. I'm going to preach to you on the life of Nicodemus, which is, after the wedding at Cana, the next major character study in the Gospel. But let me begin with an historical note. In the 16th century, the 1500s, particularly in France, some Protestant evangelicals sought to justify their conformity to the Roman Catholic Church by pointing to the figure of Nicodemus in the Gospel of John. After all, they said, Nicodemus had come to Jesus at night in order to hide his interview with the Son of God from the hostile Sanhedrin. What was justified in Nicodemus in the first century was equally justified in French Reformed Protestants in the 16th century. Especially when the Roman Catholics persecuted Reformed believers in France. These Nicodemites, as they came to be known, these Nicodemites denied that they were sinning in attending Mass and supporting Roman Catholic idolatry as long as their minds embraced evangelical religion. Now, John Calvin wrote four tracts against the Nicodemites, arguing that not only was it a dishonor to Nicodemus to dissemble before the Roman Catholic hierarchy, but it was a dishonor to the Reformed and evangelical faith. Said Calvin, and I am quoting, "Nicodemus came to Jesus by night in the time of his ignorance. After he had been taught, he confessed him openly by day." For his efforts, Calvin was attacked as being too severe, insensitive to the pressures of Protestants in a Roman Catholic country. Calvin responded with the only two alternatives as he saw it: exile or death. Either flee Roman Catholic France for Protestant Switzerland, Holland, or some other nation, or be faithful unto death. For death would be more noble than acting as a Catholic publicly while splitting hairs of mental reservation privately. Nicodemus continues to be a figure who stirs controversy. Commentators and scholars continue to see him as either a child of the darkness or a son of the light. Let us look, then, at the life of Nicodemus as it is spelled out in the only gospel which records that life, Gospel according to John, beginning to read the career of Nicodemus in chapter 3, verse 1. John 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher in Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And now to chapter 7 of the Gospel of John. Chapter 7, reading at verse 44, following Jesus' appearance at the Feast of Tabernacles. Some of them wanted to seize Jesus, but no one laid hands on him. The officers, therefore, came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, "Why did you not bring him?" The officers answered, "Never did a man speak the way this man speaks." The Pharisees, therefore, answered them, "You have not also been led astray, have you? No one of the rulers or Pharisees has believed in him, has he? But this multitude which does not know the law is accursed." Nicodemus said to them, "He who came to him before being one of them, our law does not judge a man unless it first hears from him and knows what he is doing, does it?" They answered and said to him, "You are not also from Galilee, are you? Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee." And finally to chapter 19, verse 38. Following the crucifixion and death of Jesus, "After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission. He came, therefore, and took away his body, and Nicodemus came also, who had first come to him by night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, on account of the Jewish day of preparation, because the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there." I am speaking to you this morning about a senior citizen. Curious fellow, this, who came to Jesus one night. Out of the darkness, he came. Came secretly, at night, when no spying eye could see him. Out of the blackness of his own unbelief, he came. By night, Nicodemus came in John 3 to see Jesus. Jesus, who had just stunned the crowds by driving the money changers, those well-heeled entrepreneurs, out of the temple. Jesus, who had just shocked the religious establishment, those good old boys of the Jewish religious bureaucracy, by claiming to be greater than the temple. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. This temple where God and man meet. This temple where God condescends to dwell with his people. This temple where God tabernacles in the midst of his people. Jesus says, I am where God and man meet. I am God-man. I am the dwelling place of God with his people. I am the tabernacle of God in the flesh. I am the Emmanuel presence in the midst of the pilgrim people of God. Since my resurrection, Jesus says, no more temple. I am the only temple you need. And Nicodemus comes to see this one. Out of the darkness, curious, aged Nicodemus comes to hear Jesus talk about a birth from above, a birth from heaven itself, a birth by an intrusion of the above into the below, a new birth even for senior citizens, a birth of water and spirit. With the darkness of night outside, Nicodemus listens to Jesus talk of the bronze serpent of Moses. As Moses lifted up the serpent, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And Nicodemus with the black night outside, hears of faith in one lifted up from the earth, one greater than Moses. One greater than Moses' bronze standard. One who, when he is suspended between earth and sky, will put an end to the sting of sin and the biting curse of death. With the darkness outside, Nicodemus listens to Jesus talk of life, not death, faith, not unbelief, eternal life, not perdition and damnation. Curious Nicodemus comes by night to see Jesus, and he listens. And in this Jesus, he begins to see that God so loved the world. Curious Nicodemus comes by night, and in this Jesus, he begins to see the light. I am speaking to you this morning of a senior citizen, no longer a curious fellow, now hesitant, a bit nervous, even self-conscious. Yet, even now, surprised at his own courage, Nicodemus stands to defend Jesus in John 7 before the council in front of the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus stands to defend Jesus. Others are plotting the death of Jesus. He has healed a man on the Sabbath day. He is worthy of death for being merciful to the sick. He has made himself a blasphemer, calling God his own father. He is worthy of death, for he has made himself equal with God. He has fed thousands with bread and fish, laying claim to be bread out of heaven. He is worthy of death, for he says he is living bread and living drink. He has stood up in Jerusalem on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and he has shouted for everyone to hear, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. I will give him rivers of living water." Surely he is worthy of death, for he claims to be greater than Moses, to be himself a fountain of living water for the pilgrim people of God. Arrest him. Seize him. Put him to death. Nicodemus screws up his courage. Nicodemus screws up his courage and rises to the defense. Curious fellow, this Nicodemus, who came to Jesus first under the cover of darkness, now stands before the Jewish council in broad daylight to speak for Jesus, to act the advocate on behalf of Jesus, to ask that Jesus have the right to due process. Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus seeking light, is now standing to defend the light, this light of the world. Whoever follows this one will not walk in darkness. For Nicodemus, the darkness is disappearing in the face of the light of the world. Those who believe in him no longer remain in the darkness. I am speaking to you this morning of a senior citizen. A senior citizen who comes into the darkness, the approaching darkness of the evening on this Friday, the pitch darkness of a tomb, a sepulcher newly cut out of rock. Nicodemus comes into the darkness that hovers about a cross in John 19, dark day, this Black Friday. The one whom he sought by night now hangs lifeless on the tree. The one whom he defended by day now slumps from piercing nails. The dusk is gathering. He and his friend Joseph of Arimathea, he and his friend must take the body of Jesus from the cross and bury it before nightfall. The night squeezing the light out of the sky. The night, inky night, crowds in upon their work, these two. Only these two. Everyone else has fled. Everyone else has deserted him. How very dark it is. These two come to attend their Lord. Nicodemus comes with myrrh and aloes, with spices for the burial of his Lord.
like Mary. Like Mary had come with precious ointment to bathe his feet in the gift of her love. Nicodemus comes with lavish spices. Hundreds of dollars worth of spices for his dead Lord. Nothing hesitant about his movements. No idle curiosity now. No suggestion of timidity. The body of Jesus is lovingly wrapped, gently carried, tenderly laid in the tomb. And the stone is rolled over the mouth of the sepulcher. And Jesus is left in the darkness. Jesus is left in the darkness of a grave. Yes, Nicodemus, I must go into the darkness. Yes, Nicodemus, I must go into the black hole of death. Nicodemus, I must do this for you. You came out of the darkness to find the light. Now I must go back into the darkness for your sake and for the sake of all whom the Father has given unto me. Let not your heart be troubled, Nicodemus. I go to the cross for you. I go to be lifted up from the earth for you. I go to be accursed in your place that you may not be condemned. I go to death that you may never die. I come to the grave by you, Nicodemus, that by me, you may never remain in the grave. Wait for the third day, Nicodemus. Wait for the first day of the week, Nicodemus. Wait for that blessed Easter morn, Nicodemus. The Son of Righteousness, will rise. The light of the world will burst forth. The bright and morning star will shine on the third day, Nicodemus. The light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness will not be able to overcome it. Nicodemus, out of your fervent devotion, you have wrapped my body for the grave. You have wrapped your soul. You have wrapped your soul in that birth from above, that new birth which comes by water flowing from my pierced side and the spirit by which I have been raised up. Nicodemus, out of your profound love and gratitude, you have poured a treasure of spices upon my grave claws. You have treasured this crucified Son of Man, this bread out of heaven, this light of the world. Nicodemus, on the first day of the week, the darkness will disappear. Nicodemus, when I rise from the grave where you laid me, there will be no more darkness. Dear beloved Nicodemus, I have gone to prepare a place for you in a city where there is no more night. For in that city they have no need of the light of the sun, nor do they need a lamp anymore. For the Lamb is the light of that city. Yes, Nicodemus, the darkness has disappeared once and for all. It has been swallowed up in the light of the end of the age. Come, dear beloved Nicodemus, come walk in the light. Come, dear beloved Nicodemus, walk even now in the light of the age to come. And Nicodemus walked once and for all out of the darkness into the everlasting light of his risen Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, how we thank you that the inspired apostle preserved this record of the life of Nicodemus, and how we rejoice that he embraced our Savior as the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, as the one in whom all of his knowledge became clear, in the one in whom, placing his faith, he would never come into everlasting condemnation. We praise you, Father, for the record of this story, and how we pray that it may be the record of our story. For young and old, for senior citizens and young adolescents, how fervently we pray that the water and the Spirit might take the darkness away from our hearts and enable us to see and to embrace and to walk in the light of the world. Nicodemus came to Jesus because Jesus had first come to Nicodemus. Even so, Lord Jesus, come to us in all your risen glory and light. For we ask it in your blessed name.